We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh my God, he's coming at you! He's gonna puke!
He's fat!
You three guys want a war tonight? You got one!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here!
Good evening, WWE Universe, and welcome to the Monday Night Raw post-show coming to you from MegaPowersRadio.com. I am your host for this evening's festivities, Rootin' Tootin' Tony Mango. I'm stealing it. That's my gimmick now. I don't care. Head honcho of SmarkOutMoment.com, filling in for Mike Payton, as you can tell. I am joined by a panel of our regulars here, including the Bounce House Prince, Drew Rego.
Drew, wake what? Anyways... we should have played the NWO theme to open this up.
taking over.
Yeah, we're taking over.
The People's Champ, Sean Walker.
Hey, hey, hey. I have no idea what the fuck happened on Raw. I was thinking about my penis.
And Time Cow's handler, Steven Wago. No TNA talk tonight. Just Monday Night Raw. We're going to go through the whole show, touch upon everything that happened throughout the night. As per usual, we're going to be opening up the phone lines in a little bit, so everyone who is calling in, sit tight, stay on the line, and we'll make sure that we get to you. And we invite you guys to call in and talk wrestling with us. Just tell us what you thought of tonight's episode and everything by dialing 760-512-7247. Or apparently we have another line that can work as well, 713-955-0363. We also have the Skype icon that you can hit if you want to call in. And if you can't do that, you can join in on the fun on the chat room that we've got going on as well. Lots of different options for you to take part in the conversation. Let's get the ball rolling, though, right? We'll touch upon everything in order and skip around a little bit here, but we're going to dive right into the biggest thing of the night, Eric Rowan's widgie.
Yeah. Oh, man, let me tell you about that.
No, obviously, I am talking about the Occupy Raw segment. Daniel Bryan and a few dozen of his supporters, members of the Yes Movement, wearing his new t-shirt, which obviously you can find on WWEShop.com. I'm sure that wasn't a little plan that they had going on there, right? They all surrounded the ring and, I guess for lack of a better word, hijacked the show until Daniel Bryan got what he wanted, a match with Triple H at WrestleMania. But here's a little caveat. It came with a stipulation. If Bryan wins the match, he gets inserted into the WWE World Heavyweight Championship title match as well. So that is huge for WrestleMania. That's one of the things that people have been talking about and really clamoring for since the Royal Rumble happened. And now we're finally going to get it. Daniel Bryan, well, you know, it's not a guarantee, but Daniel Bryan most likely going to be in that WWE title match. Wago, I know that you were one person that was really hoping for CM Punk to come back and fill that spot. What do you think about this?
Oh, CM Punk's going to return after both matches with Daniel Bryan and win the championship. Yep, he's going to come back as Corporate Montgomery Punk. It's going to be his new gimmick. I've got it all set and planned out. I'm going to write an article about it on smartcatmoment.com.
Montgomery?
He's going to have the M for something. She's just going to call him Corporate Motherfucker Punk.
Drew, what do you think about this? Are you excited about this? Does it make it better for WrestleMania, or is this going to turn out to be a clusterfuck?
If they don't screw it up, this is the best thing they could do with WrestleMania now. If they screw this up, they're going to shit on the main event even more if, for example, Bryan loses to Triple H beforehand. But, you know, this is one of the better segments they've had in a while, and this was actually pretty amazing. I saw some people comparing it to Stone Cold's, like, whole beer thing. Not saying that they're equal, but, you know, this is Daniel Bryan's version of it. So I thought it was pretty cool for what it was.
Sean, what did you think?
One more thing before we
go ahead,
continue.
Sir.
Oh, internet fans were probably just jizzing everywhere because of this. That's just a heads up.
Well, Sean, you're on the internet right now. What do you
keyboard.
Think? Are you jizzing everywhere above this?
Oh, man, it's all over my keyboard. I can't even touch the damn thing.
How's that different from normal, though?
Oh, yeah, porn.
Because I use my left hand. But yeah, about fucking time. That's all I can say, man.
Now you do. Everybody does think that Daniel Bryan is going to win this match for with Triple H and get into that spot, right? It's not like there's going to be some kind of weird angle happen where maybe he wins the match, but he doesn't get a part in the match with the title match. I mean, or maybe he loses against Triple H or something like that. Does anybody think that this is going to be a swerve?
No, they're dumb, but they're not that fucking dumb.
30 seconds.
I feel like they'll add some type of stipulation going into it, like an actual match stipulation instead of it just being a regular match.
I think this is all just going to lead to the whole underdog story. I think Daniel Bryan's going to be really beaten up after that match and look like there's no chance in hell he can win the triple threat match and go all the way.
Hmm.
Yeah, if he does end up winning and going to that triple threat match, he's kind of like the Chris Benoit out of the three men in the match. It looks like, at least.
Oh, yeah, the who?
The Benoit. The last, you know.
Who?
Who? What? I don't even know.
The fuck's a Benoit?
We're going to have to put a warning before this episode. Warning, Benoit was mentioned on this episode.
Nope, I'm breaking the fourth wall. My bad.
Man, you know what? I got to say, I have a little pessimistic voice in my head about this. Something is telling me that there's going to be a real negative that comes out of this situation, and I hope I'm wrong about it, but tell me if you guys think that this could happen. I think one of the downsides to this happening is Triple H is going to end up not putting over Daniel Bryan. I think Daniel Bryan's going to win that match. He's going to win the championship. That's going to, you know, end WrestleMania. But that's a sly way for Triple H to just get out of putting Daniel Bryan over clean. He's going to win by some kind of bullshit. He's going to get lucky, or maybe Triple H will lose by disqualification. Something stupid like that, I think, is going to happen.
You're expecting something like the Jeff Hardy way where he won, but he didn't really look strong doing it?
Right, yeah. He gets his ass kicked the entire match, and then somehow he reverses a pin and he wins or something like that. I was really hoping that this would be a situation where Triple H taps the fuck out, and that's it. He just flat out loses. Daniel Bryan's the better man. No excuses. And, man, having him win two matches like that in a night, I don't think WWE will do it. I don't think that they can do it. I don't think that they have it in them to just go, all right, Daniel Bryan makes Triple H tap, and then he wins by pinfall in the main event, or vice versa.
So, really, what you're saying is you would love to see Daniel Bryan win either by tap out, knockout, or submission.
Oh, the pain, the pain. There's too much DNA talk already. So, obviously, that is the huge story that's going on here. But one other thing I want to talk about before we open up the phone lines here is another match that was announced for WrestleMania, and one more that was kind of announced, but it wasn't confirmed. In our opening segment, Hulk Hogan and John Cena had a little promo going on about how Andre the Giant is going to have a memorial situation going on with WrestleMania this year, a 30-man over-the-top rope battle royal to commemorate Andre the Giant. And John Cena put his name in the hat for that, although he kind of seems like he took it out to challenge Bray Wyatt. Now, they might be able to just put John Cena in it and have him wrestle two matches as well. I don't really know what the situation is with that. We do know two people that are confirmed, Ryback and Big E. But there's basically a second Royal Rumble happening this year, which they messed up the first one, so maybe that's why they're doing the second one. So two more matches that we're going to get for WrestleMania. Seems like it's going to be, obviously, the John Cena versus Bray Wyatt match, which we all thought was going to happen before, and this Andre the Giant 30-man over-the-top rope battle royal. Real quick, let's go around here. Let's get your thoughts, and then we'll open up the phone lines. Wego, what do you think about these two matches?
John Cena and Bray Wyatt, I could not give a shit about. I think it's just going to be one of these situations where Bray Wyatt's doing his dreadful, boring offense on Cena, and Cena hits the attitude adjustment and overcomes the odds of the Wyatt family's numbers. That's all it'll amount to, and hopefully they don't let it go any longer than 10 minutes. As far as the Battle Royal goes, I don't know what to expect. It could be bad, it could be good, it just depends who's in it.
Drew?
You know, I'm kind of in the same boat as Steven. You know, I don't really know why I should think of the possible Cena Wyatt match yet. Mainly because it's Cena, but it just feels like he should be in a better place on the card than just a simple match with Bray Wyatt. That's just my opinion. And for the Battle Royal, it's fucking random as hell. I mean, and especially having Andre the Giant out of all the people to be named after, it's Andre the Giant. I just think it's completely random that they did this.
CM Punk's got to win something.
CM Punk for the win, I suppose.
Sean, what do you think?
The Bray Wyatt and Cena match, really don't give a shit about. But the second Royal Rumble, I'm going to have to go with Roman Reigns. He's going to win this. Quote me on it.
He didn't win the first one. Maybe this is
the second one
to make up for it. All right, guys.
Every match on the card.
We are going to be opening up the phone lines here. I can see that we have one caller waiting from the 412 area. Tell us who you are and what you thought about Raw.
Guys, you talked to me before. It's JD in Pittsburgh. How are you guys doing tonight?
JD, I thought it might have been you. How's it going tonight, JD?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Well, I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what. Memphis was rocking tonight, man. I'll tell you what. It was a hell of a show. I mean, they definitely got their eggs in the basket. I'll tell you what. The Yes Moon was loud as hell. It's going to be even louder when I'm at the Superdome. It's going to be even louder maybe the night after. I mean, WrestleMania is starting to shape up to be one hell of a show, and they definitely did a pretty damn good show tonight in Memphis, and I think they're going to have another good night in the ratings. As far as the highlights and lowlights, I mean, the only lowlights I'd say was the Divas affair. Obviously, it looks like they're setting up some between the Bellas and Natty. I mean, they're talking about the whole Total Divas show coming back this Sunday, which, obviously, if you've seen the trailers, I mean, just it's going to be dumb. I mean, obviously, Summer Rae comes off as a little bitchy, just like her character. But the whole beginning of the Hogan thing, you think they would have said something like maybe, oh, I'm going to be the one that puts in the Ultimate Warrior in the Hall of Fame. Well, apparently that's not the case now because Linda McMahon is going to be the one being asked to put the Ultimate Warrior in the Hall of Fame. Like, what the hell are you? I mean, are you serious? It's just a joke. But no, I mean, for the most part tonight, I mean, they did pretty well in the King's hometown. I mean, the King was acknowledged, however, but he, of course, wasn't the big story, obviously. The whole Yes movement, the fans hijacking the ring just taking over the ring. It was just like a mob scene. It was awesome. It was cool. I would love to have been there. And a lot of people definitely got to see a good show tonight in Memphis. I mean, they've definitely been hitting home runs lately, but of course, they could only hit for so many times, though, you know. I mean, this is when, after WrestleMania, they start cooling down. But right now, they've got a hot plate going. It looks like WrestleMania is shaping up to be one hell of a show. And like I said, I'm going to be there. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to enjoy it. As far as the highlights and the lowlights tonight, however, I would have to say the highlight was told Daniel Bryan. It was his night to shine again. And I think this week he made up for it after what happened in Chicago last Monday. The lowlights, however, I mean, I would have to say maybe kind of maybe the Divas affair is definitely one of them. The whole John Cena, Bray Wyatt thing, like you guys mentioned, I don't think it's going to be a great match at WrestleMania. I mean, hopefully they make it a short, quick match. And as far as the Hogan, Andre the Giant Battle Royal, I mean, yeah, it's classy. I think it's cool to see that happen, but I think it's too little too late for that. And as far as that winner goes, if they do go on with it, which looks like they're going to, I would pick Roman Reigns as my pick. I think he's definitely my pick to win it, but I think they're starting to tease more and more the Shield. However, even though tonight we didn't see that happen, however, I think they're setting up something for maybe where Ambrose's U.S. title is going to be on the line if he somehow gets out of Little Rock in one piece tomorrow night with Mark Henry.
Now, what match do you think they're going to do with the U.S. title? What was that?
A three-way, the Shield guys, Reigns, Rollins, and Ambrose, I think. You could very well see that happen. Or, if not, and Ambrose is still your U.S. champion, then they're going to have to find a decent enough U.S. challenger like a Cesaro, and I would love to see Cesaro maybe get that opportunity, but it looks like they're going with Cesaro and Swagger at this point.
What do you think about that idea that they had tossed around for a little bit, or at least the dirt sheets claimed that they did, where we were going to have a unification between the IC and the U.S. title? Think they have a means that they could do that?
I think they're due, and it would make sense because you think about it. Big E, I mean, except for maybe Swagger, has not defended the IC title for a while. I mean, against any big name. Ambrose has been U.S. champion since last May, and he hasn't defended against anyone big. So I would love to see those two belts come together as one. I think it's worthy, and they have to do something.
Now I want to say something really quickly. What would you call the title if they were to combine it?
Wow, that's tough. I mean, You got two great belts there, both history. You could call it the United States Heavyweight Championship.
You heard it here first.
Instead of the U.S. title. What's that?
I said you heard it here first, people. JD's naming the new title.
I think so. The U.S. Heavyweight Championship would be good because it makes sense. I mean, yeah, you have your U.S. title, you have your IC belt, but you could do U.S. Heavyweight Championship, or you could make it the I'm running on fumes here. I have nothing, but I think that's one of the things you could call. But, I mean, you could think of some other names, but I think the U.S. Heavyweight Championship would be the most appropriate name, I feel.
Just call it the second best championship. That's what it basically means.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, JD, recap real quick. What did you say was the highlight and the low point of the this episode?
The Daniel Bryan thing tonight, the Daniel Bryan movement tonight, I mean, compared to what happened last week, the fans chanting for him, and it was his night to shine. He was definitely the high point of the night. The low light, however, I would not say was the Divas affair as much as I usually do. However, I mean, it was okay, and it looks like they're setting up something for the Divas. But no, I would say the whole John Cena Bray Wyatt thing. I'm not really turned on by this feud. This feud does not make me feel excited and chipper and happy. It's like, and then you have apparently Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. That was kind of all right. That wasn't too bad of a segment, but no Brock Lesnar again. And obviously with them going to San Antonio next week, or in Shawn's hometown, I'm thinking maybe, and this is going to, I'm going to say it right now, maybe they'll hatch an idea and say maybe we'll have Shawn Michaels as the guest referee in the Daniel Bryan Triple H match. It could happen.
I'd be interested in that.
It could go that way. They could go that way. I mean, think about it. What happened last time in October when Daniel Bryan got screwed? This time, Shawn turns his back on Hunter and the whole authority, basically, and finally helps Daniel Bryan get the Rocky Balboa moment that we've been all wanting to see after Triple H has been hiding under his wife's badge forever and a day and being letting people kiss his ass like Bautista and Randy Orton and JBL.
All right, JD. Thanks for calling in as always, man. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Talk to you next Monday night.
All right, see you next week, JD. All right, guys, remember, you can call in 760-512-7247 or 713-955-0363, or you can call in through Skype, or you can follow along with the chat room. We're going to roll along here, and we're going to start at the beginning of the show and kind of follow that pattern onward. That opening segment that we had mentioned before, Hulk Hogan mentioning the over-the-top battle royal, led into John Cena versus Eric Rowan, which I thought, oddly enough, one of the coolest things about this episode, as little as it was, John Cena wins with a fucking roll-up. What? He didn't do his standard situation where he battles back, he picks him up, you know, does the attitude adjustment. John Cena, of all people, wins with a roll-up against Eric Rowan, of all people. It's not even, you know, a Triple H or something like that where he needs to kind of have a fluky win. That's kind of nuts. Going around in the same pattern as we've done before, Wego, what are your thoughts on John Cena and Eric Rowan?
I wasn't too into the match, but I kind of just blank whenever Cena comes on TV unless it's against someone who I consider high caliber. As far as this match goes, so-so. Surprised about how they finished the match, but I kind of liked it. It was something different from John Cena, and it made Eric Rowan sure as hell look a lot better that Cena had to beat him by having a flash pinfall, so I'm all for the ending. It's one of the few roll-up victories that I'm behind.
What did you think about all the action of the music that we got between these people today? John Cena singing a little bit of Margaritaville, Wyatt family, they got Time Is on Their Side, bringing back an oldie from NXT.
I think they need to stick to their day jobs.
Well, speaking of people who should stick to their day jobs when singing, Drew. Perfect transition there. What did you think about the whole John Cena, Wyatt family stuff from tonight?
Well, first off, I'm a better outro clown than Steven ever will be. So that's first off. Second off, there you, Steven. Second off, I didn't really watch the match, couldn't care less, you know, roll-up victory by Cena, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime, actually it's going to be twice in a lifetime if he faces The Rock again, or twice in a lifetime, but I just don't really care, so fuck Cena at this point.
Time Cow is on my side.
Time Cow's not on my side, Time Cow fucking hates me.
Sean, what did you think about the Wyatt and Cena situation?
I kind of missed it because Raw was on an hour earlier than normal. So,
what
yeah,
happened?
The first hour I missed.
He's on daylight saving time.
You people over there in other countries, we don't follow you at all.
Yeah, I'm glad I was never from there.
Fucking waited.
But by the sounds of it, I missed a fucking cracking match, Fibley. Match of the year.
Sounds like it.
Next up, we had the Usos, new tag team champions, against Ryback and Curtis Axel. Obviously, the next tag team champions, they're totally on a roll, aren't they? New Age Outlaws were on commentary. They had slightly new entrance music, I think, tonight as well. It seemed like they kind of redid that. So
yeah.
I guess they might be sticking around for a while.
I heard Road Dogs, like the Road Dogs part of it, where he does his little intro. That sounded different.
Oh, it sounded a lot lower than what it used to be, at least the voice did.
Yeah, like they went into James Johnston's booth and kind of re-recorded it for some reason.
For a moment I thought, oh, is he actually on the microphone doing it like he used to? And apparently not.
Hmm. One thing that was pretty funny, I thought, in this match, though, Billy Gunn, did he say a word?
No, he said something as he was leaving the table, and that's it.
We mentioned something about his back hurting or something like that, or how he was sick. I think it's about it.
I think syphilitis was brought up, but that's probably about
syphilitis.
It.
One other thing that was funny, though, with the commentary is Road Dogg just flat out saying to Michael Cole, "Michael Cole, I'm not happy with your commentary at all."
Road Dogg's awesome.
The Usos win via pinfall. I thought it was decent, but not really that entertaining overall. I mean, I've seen much better out of the Usos, and Ryback and Curtis Axel, not the best tag team for them to face up against. Wego, what did you think?
Well, when you have the great technical abilities of Ryback, it's hard to expect talent like the Usos to bring like something you can work with. I mean, he's just in a different league, and they wasn't up to it.
True.
You know, honestly, just thinking about a year and a half ago, the Usos would be the tag team that Ryback would be, like, having them job to, pretty much. So just think about just like a year and a half ago, the Usos would be jobbers, and now they're tag team champions. It seems like something, and yeah, that's about it.
Now, Sean, that you didn't get a chance to see this, right?
Again, stupid advertising on their part.
It's match of the year. Match of the year, dude.
Was it?
Wow. It was.
Yeah, gender turned face and everything.
Giving it 5 stars.
I didn't even hear Ryback shout the big guy, so, like, totally fucking pointless.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Jinder Mahal came out. Face turn. Forgot about that.
That would have
They still call themselves Rybaxel.
I don't think they ever called themselves that. I think that was just a nickname that they got.
I think they stopped after JBL shit all over it during commentary.
I'm glad that they don't do that anymore, though. That was such a stupid name. I mean, come on. Sometimes when you can take those two names, do a little portmanteau with that, it's pretty good. But Rybaxel, I'm not a fan of it. The next matchup on the lineup, we had Big E versus Jack Swagger. We continued the dissension between the real Americans here with Cesaro not interfering and Zeb Coulter kind of trying to play the mediator between Swagger and Cesaro, actually starting to come to a head. They're starting to argue. There was a little bit of a handshake situation with Cesaro proving that he's damn stronger than Jack Swagger. Swagger cowering like, oh God, like a little baby, telling him to let go. That was a little insulting, I think. And something that was kind of funny in that, Zeb, his one line, "My nerves can't take this." I love that. I thought that was pretty good. Another thing that was interesting, Big E wins with a roll-up. Another roll-up tonight by somebody who's supposed to be, you know, this big, strong guy with a push and all that. And obviously, John Cena and Big E have had those partnerships in the past where they're supposed to be friends backstage and all that. So, I don't know. Maybe they, like, backstage were telling each other, hey, why don't we just win with roll-ups tonight or something?
No, we should have done finisher versus finisher roll-up last week on Sparkout.
That thing confused me. I didn't even hear the one count on it.
What, with the Big E one?
Yeah, I didn't fucking hear it. I heard 2, 3, what the fuck?
Well, it's first off, 3 ain't enough, man. He needs 5, so come on.
So they only gave him 2?
I guess so. They just want to fuck with him now.
They're like, hey, you should be happy with 3. We're not going to give it to you.
You know
if you're not going to appreciate it, you don't get 3. You could just get 2.
I was going to say, if you don't want five, fuck you. You get two now.
We're going to give that one to somebody who needs it. I don't know, Zack Ryder or something.
Christian, the only thing he's got going is orange.
He just needs one more match, so he'll take that one. He'll do something with it. All right, same pattern, Wago, Big E versus Jack Swagger.
Short, to the point, not much else other than that. As far as the spillout between D'Antonio Cesaro and Jack Swagger, as long as it ends with a huge big swing at WrestleMania, I'm all happy.
Drew?
I do not care. Go Cesaro. And I really hope that he does a swing on Zeb someday.
Sean?
I actually came in towards the end of this match. Go me! And, roll-ups for the win.
Roll-ups for the win. That sounds like it should be some kind of a catchphrase on a t-shirt. Fruit roll-ups for the win. There you go. There's your marketing tie-in. Just a reminder for everybody out there, if you want to call in, 760-512-7247 or 713-955-0363 or Skype, and we've got the chat room going as well. We had a promo with The Undertaker returning, even though he was just there 2 weeks ago. And, man, I still fucking smile when The Undertaker's entrance happens. I mean, after all these years, when that gong goes off, where, if you're looking at it through Sean's point of view, the three dongs go off.
Three dongs.
It's just fucking awesome. I love that fucking entrance. Nothing's ever going to be as good as that entrance.
Well, I smile, too, because I'm like, man, I got, like, 3 minutes to go get a drink, take a piss, eat. Like, yeah, man, awesome.
Every time I hear it now, it's like, oh, sweet, The Undertaker's coming out. And then halfway down, when he's, like, walking, I'm just like, nap time.
They're going to end up just having Undertaker versus Randy Orton for a bathroom break at WrestleMania at some time.
Maybe they can time-kill The Undertaker.
That'll be pretty interesting. They always incorporate new things into Undertaker's gimmick. You know, he used to not have the fire, and then they gave that to him. He's got the hands coming out from underneath. There you go, WrestleMania. They just have fucking cowls coming out to the ring. And he sets them on fire or something like that. One thing that was pretty odd that they said here, no one seems to be giving Brock Lesnar any chance. Way to sell that, huh?
You know what, at this point, what do you do, though? I mean, everyone loses to The Undertaker.
Right. Just flat out admit it. Just like, hey, guys, we got Undertaker coming out to win another match at WrestleMania this year. But Paul Heyman came out to spin his webs, and he had a really good point that he brought up that I thought was really cool that they can mention from years to come, if Undertaker still wrestles years to come. These other people that have had matches at WrestleMania that we kind of say WrestleMania revolves around are still in nowhere near the same league as Undertaker. As he pointed out, Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania, only 2 straight wins in a row. Triple H, only 3. Hogan, 4. Austin and Cena were able to get 5 in a row. But Undertaker, he's got, 21 in a row. That still is pretty friggin' awesome if you think about it. Especially in a sport where they could have at any time decided that they just wanted somebody to be the next big guy that they have Undertaker lose to. It could have been a Giant Gonzalez. It could have been Diesel at WrestleMania 12. It could have been anybody. I mean, hell, it could have been Albert when he had that match with him. And,
thank God it wasn't.
Well, you see what happened with Tensai. If he would have had that, man, totally different story. But that's kind of crazy to think about. After 21 years of doing that, they never had that urge enough to have somebody beat The Undertaker. That's pretty cool. Paul Heyman's point of view of this whole thing is that he asks The Undertaker not to step in the ring with Brock Lesnar because he's going to lose. And that's just going to devalue the whole thing. It's going to kill a god, basically, which that's another cool metaphor that I liked. And Undertaker retorts with, the fear of death is greater than the death itself. The fear of the unknown is the greatest fear of all. Classic Undertaker, leading it out with, if Brock Lesnar shows up at WrestleMania, he's going to rest in peace. You don't need to have too much of the Undertaker talking to get the point across. He does it well with, 2 lines of dialogue, and that's about it. Good segment. Doesn't really sell the pay-per-view match, I think, too well, but they have a little bit of time left where they can still build upon this. Wago, what did you think?
I definitely agree. I don't think it's building to WrestleMania too well. I think we need more Brock Lesnar each week. And I think the thing that'll sell this match is if Brock Lesnar comes out and kicks the shit out of The Undertaker. And I mean like how he did to CM Punk, where he just ragdolled him all over the arena. With that, you build a legitimate contender for the Taker, because JBL saying, he beat Randy Couture, doesn't help, because Randy Couture was a 40-plus-year-old man when Brock Lesnar beat him.
Also, it's The Undertaker.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, fuck, yeah, he's got the credentials then, I guess. I'm gonna shut my fucking mouth.
What if they just started doing that, too? They just, like, each year, it's like 21-0 for The Undertaker, and now he's 48, or whatever. Then when we have the eventual Sting match, if that ever happens, Sting's, like, what, like, 50 now?
Yeah, it's like 51, I believe. He's 51, I believe.
The only person that can beat the streak is someone older than The Undertaker.
Ooh, so someone call Hulk Hogan.
I was just gonna say Hulk Hogan's just, like, itching right now. He's just like, wait, what? What? What's happening?
Oh, by the way, you've got a caller on the line.
I just saw that, yes. We're going to go to you, Joey Hurt, in just a few seconds. Just a real quick rundown here. Drew, what did you think of the Undertaker segment?
Apparently, from what you pointed out, Undertaker is a god, so I need to start worshiping him. That team.
Sean, your thoughts?
Drew, just worship the three dollars, man.
So, I don't know. I like to worship actual things and not a stupid bell. If I'd worship anything, it'd be Time Count. God knows I'm not doing that.
Alrighty. Joey Hurt on the line. What's up, Joey?
Hello. Good evening, gentlemen.
What did you think about Raw tonight?
You know what? They really, really... they are starting on a hot streak towards WrestleMania. And I want to give a big congratulations to the writers of the show, because they solved the problem of a lackluster main event with Bautista and Randy Orton. And this was an unprecedented way to do that. This Daniel Bryan, what do you call it, OWS, Occupy Wall Street type event. Yes, please, go ahead.
Yeah, Occupy Raw, I think that's what they were going with.
Okay, yes, it was fantastic to watch. Obviously, nothing like that has happened short of a brutal takeover like Nexus or NWO. But for this to be an organic or portrayed as an organic people's movement, that was excellent. Good part on the writers. Excellent part on Triple H playing the role of the distressed boss. It was a great show.
Well, outside of that Daniel Bryan match, what are the other matches that are coming up with WrestleMania that they kind of are building up in this episode that are you're most excited about?
You know, wow, that's a good question. I'm sort of anticipating what will happen with the Shield. And the reason I say that, because the matches that they have slated, to be honest, I'm not super excited for. You know, Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, I imagine that the streak will continue. And so I'm not excited for that match as much. You have Cena and Bray Wyatt. I like Bray Wyatt. He's coming up. He's making his mark. But that match is not something that gets me hype. So the matches they have lined up, to be honest, doesn't motivate me at this point, but I'm anticipating what will happen with the Shield.
What do you think about that new Andre the Giant Battle Royal thing? Anybody that stands out as a potential winner?
Let's see. I haven't thought about a winner, but that is an excellent, excellent idea, a beautiful tribute to the man who left his mark on this industry. And that was a very... very good of them to do this in his name. So I haven't yet thought of a winner, but nonetheless, if they do this annually, it'll be great. And it's funny because I thought of something similar, that whenever The Undertaker decides to retire, he will have an annual Undertaker Cup where he would, you know, simply host a match And then to get the fans excited, he'll choke slam whoever wins for the heck of it, anyhow. You know, because Undertaker, obviously, nothing lasts forever, and especially with the body in that sport. But with the streak, that streak lives on forever. So I can't see, or myself as a fan, I would not like it if Undertaker is taken away from us forever because the man, Mark Calloway, cannot, you know, perform at that level anymore. So at least they can inaugurate some kind of Undertaker cup.
That might be cool.
But don't worry, when Undertaker leaves, we'll just get Brian Lee back.
Brian.
Are we going to get Leslie Nielsen on the case, too?
Sure, why the hell not?
I'm going to throw a little name out there. I want to see what you think about it. My first reaction when they said this, and they said that 30 people were going to be involved instead of some kind of a special challenge, like a body slam challenge or something like that, my gut reaction, Big Show wins. What do you think about that, Joey?
You know what? Yeah, that's a good guess, because people have compared him his whole career to Andre. You know, there was once a gimmick in WCW with him being the son of Andre. So that seems like the natural winner for the inaugural event. So that's a great idea on your part to think of that.
What were your high points and low points for this evening's episode?
Okay, high point to me, obviously, the Daniel Bryan rally. And you know what? I've been on this show now, I think, my third time, so I anticipated you asking the low point. And I was practicing it in the mirror because I had to manufacture one. So it is Hulk Hogan not dropping a leg drop on one of the Wyatt family members during that match with Cena.
Anyone
you see how far?
Anyone in particular you wanted to see get it?
What's the bearded one's name? Well, they both have beards, or all three. The red-haired bearded.
Oh, Eric Rowan.
Eric Rowan, yeah, because he was the one wrestling Cena. So, but you know what? He got his beating from Cena, so maybe Harper should have received the leg drop. but you see how desperate I am to find a low point? That's how highly I thought of this show tonight. They did a fantastic job.
Oh, I agree, man. I agree. Joey, thanks for calling in, man.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. See you next week, man.
Okay. Take care.
All righty, guys. Another caller down. We have more time for everybody. If you want to call in, 760-512-7247, Skype, or 713-955-0363. Or what the hell, next week maybe we'll have 20 other numbers that Blog Talk Radio wants to give to us.
Yeah, numbers.
Before we move on to the next match, guys, what are your thoughts about that? Big Show, possible winner? Wego?
I suppose it makes sense based on what the whole thing's about. I just don't want to see Big Show win a Battle Royal. It has no appeal to me. I suppose he does. You know what? With all the Royal Rumbles that he's come to the end and not won, I suppose they can give him this much.
Drew, what do you think about Big Show?
I'm not so sold on Big Show, but who's that Hungarian guy that debuted tonight? Again, actually, he showed up again. Alexander Rusev, is that his name?
Rusev, yep.
Rusev, yeah. What's his manager's name?
Lana, but don't ask me what the hell she says because I have no idea. It's just.
Apparently, yeah. It's excuse me. I don't know what she's saying, though.
Yeah, she's winning the battle royal. Something you know.
Sean, Big Show, got a chance?
Nope, sticking with Roman Reigns. You're wrong. Just saying.
You're wrong.
I'm never wrong. I am the people's champion.
You're a towel.
All right, we have another caller on the line, 856. Probably a buddy of mine, 856. Is this Dane by any chance?
Yo, what's up, dude?
What's up, Dane? So, your thoughts on Raw tonight, man?
It was pretty good. I mean, I just kind of, like, everyone's talking about the Daniel Bryan segment. I kind of disagree. I thought it was kind of weak because it really didn't make sense to me how, like, just like go back to last year when Triple H lost to Lesnar. And then wanted a rematch, and then they kind of, like, said no until, they said they would put his career on the line. It's like, Daniel Bryan's begging for this match for Triple H. Then he finally says yes, and he's like, however, on one condition, you know? Doesn't really make sense to me. They should just have the match.
We think that if they had something for Daniel Bryan to lose, that might kind of make it better?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's like, I'm begging you for a match. Just give me a match. Then he's like, fine, Jesus. I'll give you the match, but on one condition. Like, it should be Triple H's condition. Like, you know, all right, if I beat you, this yes movement's done, you're gone, or something like that. Not like Daniel Bryan calls the shots.
Maybe that's WWE's perspective about the whole thing. They're like, all right, fuck, everybody shut up. You're getting the fucking match.
I guess we're allowed to, like, swear. I wasn't sure. I tried to hold it in.
You know me.
Yeah.
What about the other stuff that happened tonight? Any other things really stand out to you, positive or negative? Any high points, low points?
The Heyman and Undertaker thing was pretty good. Anytime Heyman talks, it's better because Lesnar's not really good on the mic.
Except for that screen.
We don't really need Lesnar there.
Hey, he can do his own Brock yeah. Lesnar now.
A lot of people aren't really excited about John Cena and Bray Wyatt. I mean, it's something different. I mean, people would be complaining if it was like Cena versus Batista or Orton for the title. So it's better to have him like outside of the title picture and maybe put like a newer guy over. Like, wow, Bray Wyatt beat John Cena at WrestleMania. He must be for real.
What did you think about the Christian segment? What did I ask you?
What a performance, though, you know. He just puts his body on the line day in and day out, and the only people that everybody's talking about, Daniel Bryan.
Have you ever noticed how orange he is?
Christian. I think it's just the lighting.
Yeah.
He's got Sin Cara lighting, but it's just orange.
Yeah. It's just on him. It's like a spot like Batista, but it's just Sin Cara's lights.
So did you see Sheamus kick that carrot for a drum? That was impressive.
Yeah, carrots.
Yeah, that was pretty entertaining, but you know, it was clear as day Sheamus was gonna win, unfortunately.
Alright, so what would you narrow down? Number one highlight, number one low point.
The low point, to me, is like the Daniel Bryan thing. It just doesn't make sense to me how begs for a match, and then he's like, oh, however, I'm only going to face you unless I can get into the world title match, which is a good job by WWE, because no one's going to watch the Batista and Orton match. Well, I mean, people will watch it, but people are going to boo. High point. The Hogan-Cena thing was pretty cool to me. Cena was pretty awkward with the poses, but it was pretty cool.
Just seeing the two of them in the ring?
Yeah, just, you know, Cena's like the face, and Hogan was the face, and it was pretty cool.
And Christian's the blue dot. I had to.
I thought he was orange.
How is he not the world champion? I just don't understand that.
Thanks for calling in, D-Man.
Alright, man. Nice talking to you.
Talk to you later. Alright, we got another caller on the line. 407 area code 407. What's up?
Yo, what's up, man? This is Robert from Orlando, Florida.
Hey, what's up, Robert? What'd you think about Raw tonight?
AK. I thought it was okay. I mean, I actually honestly got pretty bored for the first hour or so. Just seeing kind of something different from the yes movement. I thought that was I honestly disagree that I honestly thought it was actually a good segment. Never seen it before. I was kind of part of that movement too, because I was like, I'm really disagreeing with the main event with WrestleMania right now. And now that that's going on, I'm like, yeah, they're definitely setting up for a triple threat match. But I enjoyed it though.
Now, what do you think is going to happen with that? Do you think it's going to be one of those screw job kind of finishes, like I had mentioned earlier with the Triple H thing, or do you think this is going to be Daniel Bryan's real time to shine?
I think I have to agree with you that too. I mean, it might not be a screwy finish, but I bet they're going to try to make some sort of some mountain that he has to climb again to get to the other match. Like basically, Triple H is probably going to beat him up after the match, and so that would be like, oh, is he really going to win this match against Randy Orton and Batista?
That's a good point.
So, you know, I'm thinking, what's that?
That's a good point. I could see that happening.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about it too. I was like, you know, he's facing pretty much 3/4 of Revolution, so I'm guessing they're going to set up another match against Ric Flair or something, and then it's going to be like, he has to face everybody of Evolution, and then everybody of DX, and everybody of all of other Triple H's buddies, the clique.
Maybe he'll get lucky and it'll be a first blood match. Flair will lose just on the way to the ring.
There you go.
What about some other stuff that happened tonight? Do you think that the Andre the Giant Battle Royal is going to be cool? Do you think John Cena and Bray Wyatt is gearing up pretty well? Any of the matches stand out as good or bad?
When I saw that, I was thinking about you guys. I was just like, is this like from the, you know, the WrestleMania fantasy book that we've done before? Like, didn't you, Tony, say that you want to do like a big man buffet match or something like that?
Yeah, I always try to do the big man buffet or like some kind of a multi-man match at WrestleMania. I'm surprised that everybody remembers that term.
They really are gonna like. They really are setting up a. Or they're really listening to Smack Talk. I'm pretty sure about that.
If they are, they owe me some royalties or something.
If they are, I feel bad for them listening to our fucking outros.
James Johnston's like, I gotta steal that. I gotta get this Drew kid.
Yeah, guys. Sorry, I might have a hot ship here.
They'll probably run out of contact on the WWE Network, so they'll probably get to contact you guys, so I'm all for it.
Maybe since their pyro budget's so, like, gone down, apparently, they can get Drew just to do them.
It's all good. My outros are still better than yours.
Hey, they don't technically have the Raw post-show yet. It's Backstage Fallout or something, isn't it? They could always take hire the Mega Powers Radio crew for that if they want to. Of course, we would end up shitting on the product.
No, the issue is we have to take Time Cal with us, and then as soon as they see that, they're going to be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, Time Cal is what's wrong with us.
Robert, what did you think about the Sheamus and Christian match? We haven't talked too much about that tonight. Was that one of the best matches of the night, like Dane was saying, or do you think that something else was better?
I mean, honestly, I did. I enjoyed the breakfast brawl match with orange juice versus milk. It was great. I actually enjoyed it. It was a lot more than last week. The audience was actually into it. They weren't chanting random chants. They were actually into the match. I'm guessing also, too, because they were feeding off from the Yes Movement segment from right before that. So, I was all for it. I was like, this is actually a pretty good match.
Recap a little bit. What did you think was the high point and the low point?
I don't want to get all generic, so I'm going to say the high point, Mango taking over the hosting of over Payton.
Ooh, it's on Payton.
Low point. I know, I'm not
going to
be welcomed
over
again.
You'll turn Cody Gunn.
Yeah.
Next week you're gonna get time count.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a time count. 407.
What was your low point?
I'm honored time count. I was gonna say low point was Damien Sandow, but at least he was on Raw. So my low point. I don't know. I don't have a low point for. Oh, actually, yeah, the first hour of Raw was a low point. I was kind of bored.
Dragged a little bit too
like,
long.
I was a little bit disappointed about that. I was wondering if Undertaker was actually going to have an announcement, and they hyped that up on the preview, but it was really just to say that Brock Lesnar's going to rest in peace, and I was like, that's it?
Yeah, it kind of seemed like it was going to be a bigger deal than, hey, Brock Lesnar, fuck you, buddy.
Right, exactly. So I was kind of like a little bit disappointed, but I would say my ugly point would be I found out that Bray Wyatt is younger than me, so I was like, oh, dang it. He's 26 and I'm 29. I'm like, oh, well, okay.
At least where it counts, but he looks older, I'm sure.
Yeah, that, but also, too, I mean, if that's a high point, too, that at least he's going to last longer in WWE, so that's good.
All right, Robert, thanks for calling in, man.
All right, gentlemen, have a good night. Good to see you guys.
You too. All right, guys, if you want to call in, 760-512-7247. We're going to pick back up where we left off. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes and Goldust. And as far as the quality of the match goes, I thought this was probably the best match of the night. I liked it quite a bit. One thing, move-wise, that I wanted to point out, the spear that Roman Reigns did on Goldust, damn it, that looked like that hurt. I don't know if that was just, you know, the way that Goldust was standing or the way that Reigns went into it, or maybe there was actually a mess up or something like that. I don't know, but that looked like that hurt even more than it normally did. And that power bomb that Seth Rollins did to Cody Rhodes on the turnbuckle, that looked pretty cool too. Although I hate Seth Rollins' finisher.
Oh, I hate it too. It's fucking stupid.
Isn't it something that's just like, it seems like it would be cool if they could pull it off, but they never do.
Bite me.
It looks like something that Umaga would have done when he was wrestling.
Yeah, he had all the shit moves for a big guy.
I liked Umaga's moves.
Oh, yeah, that thumb. That
thumb. Don't really sell it that well. That's a good point. You got the thumb, yeah, you know, the foot. Sean, you got a defense of Seth Rollins' finisher?
I actually like the Seth Rollins stomp thing.
Good, you're doing it.
Fucking bullshit!
You lying sack of shit.
That's what he should call it. He should follow it up with the thumb.
Garbage stomp.
They announced that Dean Ambrose is going to defend the United States Championship against Mark Henry at main event. Stay tuned for coverage of that on SmackDown Moment. Little plug there. There's a chance that Dean Ambrose could be losing the championship going into WrestleMania. I thought that there was a chance that Mark Henry could have won it weeks back when they had that, but maybe they're doing it now. Maybe that'll be a way to get people to watch main event. Or maybe it's just bullshit, and that's a way to get people to watch, hoping that something like that will happen, and we'll end up seeing a, you know, triple threat for the U.S. title or something like that. Wego, what do you think about all the Shield stuff going on?
Nothing sells Dean Ambrose versus Mark Henry like their first classic encounter on Raw. Jesus Christ, that fucking stunk up the joint. As far as all the Shield stuff goes, I think we're going to get a triple threat match for the US title, and it should be match of the night. As far as the build to it goes, I think it's just been really well done. It's been a slow burn, and you're still hesitant to think if they're going to split or not. So I'm enjoying the ride, and I can't wait for the match.
Drew?
Yeah, I'm still leaning towards the triple threat idea between the three for the U.S. title. And the match was pretty good, I might say. That spear, though. I like that spear. That's what a spear should look like. It should look like it's going to kill a man, not an edge spear that fucking sucks. That spear is for champions. And Roman Reigns is a champion, and it's better than anyone on Mango's team. And that's what's up.
Clearly, he learned that from Caitlyn.
You plug. Shut up, Mango. No one gets that joke, so...
Kennedy.
Sean, your thoughts on the Shield?
I reckon no championships are going to swap hands at main event. And, yeah, triple threat WrestleMania, Seth Rollins to win with his stomp.
Shut up.
Foot stomp.
Fucking stupid. I was as stupid as a powerbomb.
I'm also glad that Seth Rollins got the pin. Because he never gets the pin.
Well, it's even better that he got it with the foot stomp.
Oh, yeah, the garbage stomp. That's what they should call it. I'm serious about that.
Transitioning that, there's another match that was announced for a title situation for main event. AJ Lee is going to defend the championship against Natalya, and we had a Divas match, tag team match, AJ Lee and Tamina against the Bella Twins. I've been mentioning it pretty much every week for the past couple of weeks here. Nikki looks fantastic.
What you've been saying that? I don't remember.
Oh yeah.
That's what we talk about. You know, it's sad. We're to the point now with Divas matches. We don't talk about the match. Just talk about how good Nikki looks.
Well, here's the thing. I actually thought that this was a pretty decent match, and there was one part in it that was really good. Tamina hit this sweet super kick on Brie Bella, and normally when, you know, you pull off a decent move like that, and then Brie Bella was supposed to roll to the outside, a lot of times the Divas, and the men too, but the Divas more so than the men, when they're trying to roll to the outside or flip over the top rope or anything like that, it's very awkward, and they don't seem to pull it off that well. That super kick really landed that smack perfectly, and then Brie rolled out perfectly outside of the ring, and that was just, I was shocked, because you don't normally see that kind of stuff in a Divas match, and that's not, you know, flipping around, doing shooting star presses or anything, but it's just a simple thing that they pulled off really well.
That's all the rolling around she does with John Cena, mate.
That's a good comparison. All is not the shooting star press, but it's still impressive. God.
Yeah, it's like fucking an infant taking their first steps. You're like, oh, that's really good.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, they've probably been getting some lessons from Brian how to do anything, right? You know what's good about the Bella Twins now? They don't do the annoying, come on, Nikki, as much as they used to. So, yeah. Hey, at least their matches are more enjoyable from that standpoint.
I tell you what did suck, though. Natalya on commentary. Man, is she bland.
Oh, yeah, Natalya. Taking Tyson's kid.
Hey, she's going to lose her manners.
I preferred it when she fought.
Well, I like the little references she threw out there. I'm going to get hungry and forget my manners, which her father had said. I don't remember when, but I know that it was Neidhart.
Yeah, but she then did it two or three more times, and it's like,
oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'll give her a sharpshooter anywhere.
The little Owen Hart reference, enough is enough, and it's time for a change, that was said with no enthusiasm whatsoever. Hey, enough's enough. It's time for a change. I'm the best diva on the roster. I'm going to say that about four more times, too. The fur is going to fly. It's one of the things she said.
And then I'm going to go watch Samuel Shaw.
Yeah. You know what's sad? I'm looking forward to the Divas match tomorrow more than a U.S. Championship match. I'm being straight honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, because Mark Henry fucking sucks, and no offense, he's not that good in the ring. And most likely that U.S. Championship match is just going to be a DQ bullshit match. Mark Henry's going to get pissed off, and then there's going to be another rematch on Monday. And that match is going to be like every other match that they're showing on Raw, where it's just The Miz and Kofi Kingston over and over again. What? I don't even know. Just continue.
Nikki wins the match for her team, grabs the title, and there's a stare down with Natalya where they might be building another triple threat match at WrestleMania for a championship. Nikki and Natalya and AJ Lee or something like that. Or maybe just Nikki against AJ Lee. I don't know. I could see the way that the Bella Twins have improved. I could see Nikki being the next champion the way that they haven't really been setting anybody else up for it. Wego, what's your thoughts on this whole thing?
I'm still not behind the Bellas, and I understand they've improved, but they've not improved that much. The most talented diva on the roster outside of AJ right now is Naomi, and
Naomi and Cameron.
Yes, and Cameron. And with her getting a fucking guy injury, I've got no interest in the Divas division right now. So I don't give a shit. I need a piss break, and WrestleMania is actually shaping up to be pretty good, so I'm only going to have a few of those piss breaks, so bring on the piss break.
Drew, your thoughts on the Divas from tonight and future stuff?
I thought it was good. And, you know, I've been a big supporter of Total Divas, which is coming back this Sunday, so good for that. But I do have one complaint about it, and this is the only time I'm really going to complain about it, and it's that it's probably doing more harm to the Divas division itself than a good thing that's going on for it. And when I say that, it means, you know, this AJ holding the title for so long, oh, man, it's a big deal. But honestly, it's not that big of a deal because they rarely mention it. If they do mention it, AJ ends up crying about it because, you know, that's just what she does nowadays. And, you know, just like all the focus is on Total Divas and it's not on AJ in a title picture, you know, which is a shame because AJ's probably the best wrestler they got on the main roster because Emma didn't wrestle or wasn't on the show tonight, which which is a little surprising. But yeah, that's like my only knock on this going forward is if Total Divas is just going to, you know, it's going to be the Total Divas title in the future and not just the Divas Championship.
Sean?
I've been saying this for a while. I don't give a shit about the Divas division until they bring a Paige.
Just Paige? Emma's not good enough?
Fuck Emma. Stupid hands. I can tell you where she can put her hands. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if you want to tell us where she can put her hands.
It's a horrible segue.
Oh, come on. That was perfect. You know it. 760-512-7247. 713-955-0363 or Skype, or you can pop up in the chat room as well. One other thing I want to mention real quick that was funny that happened during this segment before we move on to the next one. Little screw up, they cut to the backstage area, which it looked like they just sort of filmed, I don't know, some cables on the ground or something like that. What the hell was that?
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
That was the second screw up of the night. Somebody earlier said, John, it's his last one. In the middle of the backstage segment with Kane and the Shield.
Yeah, I heard that. I think there was bickering over lines or something.
Right, something was odd about that.
I thought it was just someone in the crowd yelling that.
It might have been, I don't know, but whatever it was, they really picked it up, and it just felt very awkward.
Yeah, I think they left their mics on commentary.
We saw enough.
Another awkward thing, Renee Young talked a little bit to LL Cool J and Chris O'Donnell from NCIS LA, which actually is not too bad of a show. I've seen a couple episodes of it. But LL Cool J was in rare form. They were talking about who would you like to recruit to NCIS, and of course they did John Cena because you can't see him, the whole stealth move. But LL Cool J basically just going, hey, Bella Twins are hot, huh?
Yeah, but then he went on about fucking oiling up and shit. Yes. And it was really fucking awkward. I was like, wow, what a douchebag.
Yeah, that was very odd.
It was good, but, you know, it's never going to top the kosher butcher when it comes to talking to members in the crowd. No. Never going to top that.
Definitely not.
You might as well have just gone, huh, those wrestlers sure put a lot of oil on, huh? They're kind of gay, right, huh?
Yeah, but I'm not, because Bell Twins, yeah. Tag them.
Well, they could tag me all they want.
We talked about Occupy Raw, and that means the next thing is Sheamus versus Christian, which we talked about a little bit, but we didn't really go around here and talk about what our thoughts of it was. Banned instruments and everything all over the place. Memphis Street Fight. The alternatives were a false count anywhere match and a 2 out of 3 falls match, which I gotta say it. Fucking Memphis Street Fight, or it's a Belfast Brawl, or it's a
Chicago
no DQ match, or it's a Chicago Street Fight, or it's, you know, a no holds barred match, or it's
hardcore match,
an unsanctioned match, or
okay, we get the point.
Rules match, or God, it's just, it goes on and on and on. It's so ridiculous. And shouldn't this have been Dolph Ziggler versus Damian Sandow?
Oh, yeah, I was thinking exactly that. I was like, hasn't this happened before?
Right, yeah, like 6 different times. You just get a bunch of instruments together and call it the name of the area, and then those two fight each other.
Weren't they in Memphis when they did that too, between Ziggler and Sandow?
No, I think they did. It might have been like Nashville or something.
Nashville, yeah, they did Nashville.
For the Double J Jeff Jarrett stuff.
Oh yeah, if I'm wrong.
Shit, there's other things they could have done in Memphis, like who can give Jerry Lawler a heart attack first match or something.
Well, Dolph Ziggler wins that. He just does the elbow drop a couple of times. Sheamus wins with a bro kick through a drum. I don't think we'll ever be saying that again. Not too bad. I thought I liked it. I mean, I don't care about this feud at all. I don't want to see these two face each other at WrestleMania at all whatsoever. I would rather these two just be involved in that 30-man over-the-top rope battle royal, and that's it. And maybe I'm okay with Sheamus winning it, but I'd rather see Big Show or even Big E or, you know, Kofi Kingston or something like that win.
Lana
can take a back seat.
Yeah, Lana's going to win it.
Who is?
I told you Rusev's manager is going to win it.
Oh, Lana?
What the fuck her name is? Inanye.
Wego, thoughts on Sheamus and Christian?
I'm sick of this feud, but this match wasn't too bad. Though I was kind of updating an article since Brian fucked me over. And I only really watched the last chunk of it, so that's why it probably seemed better.
Drew?
Yeah, the beginning sucked, the end was okay. I'm in this match is The Miz and Kofi Kingston of this modern time period.
Sean?
That's how much he cared about the match, yeah.
Oh.
What?
What?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was arranging my date during this match, and the thing that pissed me off the most was JBL got a Beatles member's name wrong.
Wrong.
What did he say? Match.
Wrong fucking Beatles. Oh, man.
What did he do? I didn't catch
it. He said Ringo Starr was the guitarist. He wasn't. He was the drummer.
Who cares?
I care, because I'm
a Beatles
fan.
They're in Memphis. The Beatles are irrelevant.
Beatles are always relevant.
Which and shout?
One last match of the night. Before we do that, just one more quick reminder. If you want to call in and make sure that you can talk to us about what you thought of this episode of Raw, 760-512-7247. The last match is the Daniel Bryan and Big Show against Batista and Randy Orton match. Batista and Randy Orton were supposed to set aside their differences and work together for the benefit of the Authority, and it seems like they worked pretty well together, although they did lose the match. Daniel Bryan wins with the knee plus. I do not like the name of that finisher.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. But, hey, it looks like Batista's making that transition to kind of teaming with Randy Orton, and they're going to do that different setup of a triple threat match. It doesn't seem like we're going to have babyface, heel, and tweener. We're going to have two heels and a babyface. But what the hell? Everybody's going to be cheering for Daniel Bryan anyway. You might as well, right? Match quality? Meh. You know, makes sense for it to be the main event, but I didn't think it was best match of the night. Wego?
It was pretty slow at the start, but it picked up towards the end and kind of left you wanting more for him out of the last moments of the match, but I suppose that's what WrestleMania's for.
Drew?
I thought it was good. Like Steven said, started slow, picked up towards the end. I just don't think that Bryan and Big Show should have won here, but oh well.
Sean?
My stream died.
Oh, that sounded so sad.
My stream died.
But I caught the knee, so.
The solid knee plus?
I gave it a knee minus.
I gave it a plus plus. Plus.
A knee minus. That's like something I would have said. That's pretty much going to wrap us up for the evening. What we like to do here, though, is a little thing called the good, the bad, and the ugly. I gotta say, the good, man, there was a lot of good stuff that happened tonight, but I gotta just pass it on to the obvious thing, Occupy Raw. That's something that I added into my best of the whole year kind of stuff going on at the end of the year awards. Bad, I gotta say, Cody Rhodes and Goldust getting screwed over. They were awesome this past year, and man, they're relegated to pretty much nothing. It sucks. And the ugly, I think I gotta preemptively say what everybody else is thinking. Jerry Lawler's clothes.
Oh, damn it, you took it.
The fuck? At least they mentioned that. They said he got it at an Elvis gift shop. Terrible. Terrible. Wego, good, bad, the ugly.
For my good, it's definitely got to be Daniel Bryan's Occupy Raw segment. It was fantastic. From Stephanie screaming to Triple H getting going berserk and Daniel Bryan finally getting what he deserves. As far as the bad goes, I'd probably have to go with the main event. It wasn't all that good for what it should have been. And for the ugly, I'm going to say WWE's editing this evening.
You mean you didn't want to see those cables or whatever it was backstage?
To be fair, I could do with more bickering between fucking Michael Cole and JBL. That was pretty funny.
Drew, what's your good, bad, and the ugly?
like good is going to be the Occupy Raw. You know, I think that's one of the better segments they've had in quite some time. The only shame to it is that, you know, besides for the people in the ring, the Memphis crowd wasn't too behind it. But, you know, that you really can't plan stuff out like that. So, besides for that, it was a fantastic segment. My bad is going to be, I'm going to take the opening segment with Hulk Hogan. And I just, did not like that at all. And then the ugly, Mango. That shirt, though. That shirt.
I thought you were saying Mango was the way you made that sound.
Say, all right, guess who's not coming to Smack Talk this week?
Oh, no, my good would be Mango, if anything. Come on. Everyone knows that.
That's right. Butter up.
Kiss him up. Kiss my ass kisser. I'm an ass man.
So you're going with Lawler's clothes, too? That ugly, ugly shirt?
God, dude, that's like something you'd expect him to wear to like a WrestleMania access event.
Sean, good, bad, the ugly?
The good, Seth Rollins finisher on Cody Rhodes. Somebody has to stick up for the poor bloke.
Fuck you.
The bad, I had to miss an hour because of time issues. And the ugly, my stream died in the main event. So technical difficulties on my end.
All right, guys. One last thing to do here. Go around in a circle, talk some plugs. Wego, what do you got to plug?
All right, you guys can go over to www.facebook.com/addictedanimefans and check out Addicted to Anime, a monthly podcast that happens here on Mega Powers Radio. Also, check out Unanimous Decision MMA by going to facebook.com/UDMMA, and that's the best way to keep updated on both of those projects. Oh, and also check out my article coming up soon on the status of WrestleMania on smartcatmoment.com.
Drew?
Well, you know, since Mike Payton isn't here, and that's a damn shame that he isn't here, you know, I'm just supposed to say that, you know, check out all the other stuff here on Mega Powers Radio, you know, like the Sports Talk Weekly that's going to be airing on Tuesday for the next couple of days at 9 p.m., so you should go to that because the Drew crew is going to be raiding and taking over. So, yeah, go me. You know, Geek Speak on Thursdays, and, yeah, go listen to Anthony Minko's Smart Gal Moments whenever the hell he decides to put them out. So, go team, Drew crew for the win, and again, Mango's team sucks. John Cena's overrated.
Sean?
I ain't got nothing. Besides my Twitter account, which is SeanC2K37, if you want to find out how my date goes and if I get my cock sucked. Back to you, Tony.
Jesus Christ.
That was the best plug ever.
That brings a whole new meaning to plug. Oh, God. We're going to have to rename that. All right, guys, if you're listening to this, remember the archive versions of iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find us on smartgalmoment.com, which is my website, as I mentioned before. Looking for more writers, so if you're interested in that, send in your application. The Smack Talk podcast you can also find on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as youtube.com/smartgalmoment. This next week's episode is going to be fantasy booking WrestleMania 30. Maybe a big man buffet pops up. I don't know. It's the matches that we would have gone with if we had control of WWE. For my other plugs, you can find me on Bleacher Report, and you can check out other A Mango Tree related stuff, and follow me on Facebook and Twitter and everything else like that on at Tony Mango, spelled out like the body parts. For Stephen Wego, for Drew White, for Sean Walker, and for Mike Payton, who sends his regards, I'm Tony Mango. This has been the Mega Powers Radio Monday Night Raw post-show.